Blog Talk Radio.
They forget to bring me water. They forget that I'm here. They don't know how smart.
Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Caring for Animals, show number 292 and counting this evening. And I want to welcome everyone aboard. Hope you new listeners tune in more often. Spread the word about Voices Caring for Animals, because the more voices and action takers, the better it is for the animals in need and distress. So please spread the word, because the only way we get changes made is come together and take action is the key to unlock the door for all changes to be made. My name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the host and producer for Voices Caring for Animals, live every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listening worldwide, and all shows are recorded live and archived, so you can listen at your leisure 24/7, 365 days a year, and also share them. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online, Marty Oakley, and a big shout out to her for She's the Roots for starting Voices Caring for Animals. I were her co-host. She moved me to a host back in 2014, and then I've been on my own for a couple, over 2.5 years on Animal Advocates Radio. So if you ever want to hear those shows, you could go to TS Radio Network and search Voices Caring for Animals on Blog Talk Radio, or you can go to the PPJ Gazette on the right-hand column, search and put Voices Caring for Animals or TS Radio, Voices Caring for Animals. This is the show, last show for 2020 this evening, everyone. And we'll be returning January the 7th with Marty Irby, Executive Director of Animal Wellness Action. So we want to bring in the new year with a big bang and keep it rolling, you know, more victories for the animals. So we're going to get started here in just a moment. If there's, I'm going to be opening up for calls at the latter part of the evening. It's like 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. And here's the number to call if you would like to speak. Just remember to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. And that number is area code 310-982-4270. Press 1 and I'll let you in. You'll be in the queue. And so if you have any, you know, be respectful to our guest. And our guest tonight is Jennifer. She's been on here so many times and always welcome back. Jennifer Kennedy, campaign director at Anti-Chain Division at the Anti-Dog Fighting Campaign Worldwide. Also founder at K9 Unchained USA, and also lobbying for Dillon's dog chaining law here in Florida. And also joining us, Dr. David Fashenbauer, member of the Anti-Chaining Coalition in Florida. So we're going to bring him on first. And if you, like I said, if you have any questions, we will open up the lines at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. And all, it's the same number every Thursday, so if you want to log it in your contacts. But I'm going to bring him on. And the song at the beginning, I wanted to bring that up because it really fits this show. Donna Hughes, she was a former guest on my show several times. Dog on a 12-Foot Chain. You can look that up on YouTube. It's a very meaningful and heartfelt song about dogs on chains, where, you know, some people leave them out on chains in very hot weather or very cold weather and snow or even hurricanes with no, you know, food or water. It's very, it's a, dogs in distress, and they don't deserve that. Some of them with no food, no water. So they need to be running free and in your home, you know, and being comfortable at peace. But I want to bring in Dr. Dave. How are you this evening? Welcome aboard Voices Care for Animals. Go ahead and speak. And if you want to be, yeah, go ahead. If you want to just tell us, this is such an honor. Hey, you're so welcome. Welcome to the animal world here. We try to keep, you know, speak out for all the animals in need. But you, if you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started and our goals. And I hope this Dylan's Dog Chaining Law in Florida, I hope it passes all the way because he deserves it. May
I
Dylan
hope so
rest
too.
In peace. Yes. But go right ahead. You're live and on the air.
So I got involved with the anti-dog chaining movement up here in Nassau County, Florida, really because I was personally exposed to three very egregious cases of dog tethering. And I finally just said, you know, someone's got to do something to change the laws. And so we were able to pass a ordinance up here in Nassau County to prohibit anyone from tethering a dog and just simply leaving it alone without any supervision at all. And now it's kind of progressed onto the state level. Excuse me. And what the gist of the law is this. No person shall tether a dog or cat to an inanimate object as a means of confinement or restraint unless said person is outside with the dog or cat and the dog or cat is always visible to the said person. Now, we call it Dylan's Dog Chaining Law because in 2012 in Jacksonville, Florida, a 17-month-old boy wandered into his neighbor's yard and he was attacked and killed by a Rottweiler on a chain. And that was, he was the fourth young child to be killed by a chain dog here in Florida. And that's why we named the law after Dylan. So That's a little bit about how I got involved, and that's a little bit about the law that we're proposing.
Yeah, and you know, it's such a sad story, but we got to, you know, a 17-month-old is very, very young, and to bring justice here, better lives for the children, the people, and the animals. You know, doing what's, because it was an accident, but it was a horrific accident. And if it could have been prevented, you know, that's the way you look at it. Because we have to look out
for our
children and animals. Yeah, go right ahead.
If that dog is behind a fence or better yet, inside the home, Dylan would still be alive today. And the American Veterinary Medical Association published a study that stated that about 27% of the dogs involved in fatal attacks were chained at the time. So we know that prolonged tethering of dogs makes them more aggressive. That's been proven over and over again, and a lot of expert organizations would agree with that. And that is the problem, is that folks just don't realize that when they chain their dog, the dog becomes territorial, defensive, and aggressive. It has to be because it can't run away from danger. And so that creates a problem for anything human or non-human, that comes within that range of that chain. And the dog itself, of course, is at risk because it could be attacked by other dogs or wild animals or, you know, people with bad intentions or whatever. So the dog is at risk itself, and then the dog becomes a risk because they become aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, if we would take ourselves and go, you know, tie ourselves to a tree for hour after hour after hour with no food or water or very little food or water, how are we going to act? We're not going to like it at all. We're going to be so stressed out, you know, and angry, and you know, especially in hot weather down here in Florida. And also if there's any, you know, I've seen where dogs were left out in very, very extreme temperatures, you know, and that's so stressful for them. And they deserve better than that, you know, that our animals, our pets, we want to make them comfortable. Whoa.
Perhaps this is a story I haven't shared with really anyone, but I can tell you my first experience with tethering was, and I'm going to date myself, but it was in 1963. I was five years old, and it was in. I was living in my family home in St. Paul, Minnesota, and on one side of the argument was my father, who insisted that the family dog be outside on a chain. And it was November, and the temperatures were going to plunge well below freezing. And on the other side was my mother and her six children, who said they want the dog in the house. And my father had been told, dogs stay outside. That's where they belong. They don't come in the house. That's how he was raised. And my father was a former Marine who served his country in World War II on the island of Okinawa. And I can tell you that nothing that the United States Marine Corps or the Japanese Imperial Army could have done to my father could have prepared him for the battle he was about to fight with his wife and her and their six children. And he he wisely raised the white flag and negotiated a conditional surrender, thereby allowing the dog to come into the house with the stipulation that it be remain in the entryway and it must be tethered to the doorknob. So the dog came off of its chain, came in the house, and I'll never forget how, and even though this was 57 years ago, that dog was so happy to be inside that house with the family, and the family was happy too. And, you know, so that was my real first experience. And it wasn't because my father, he was an intelligent man. He just had been raised with the idea that dogs are outside and they are on chains. That was his upbringing. You know, he got an education, and I can still see him, some 40 years later, sitting in his recliner with his little dog sleeping on his lap and the German Shepherd laying at his feet and the family cat laying on the couch. So he he saw the light eventually.
Eventually, right. Yeah, because they're, you know, pets are unconditional love and we want to see them comfortable. And once when you open that bond, you know, between human and animal, it's magical. I mean, it's just, you know, become so close. The loved ones, furry loved ones. And when you lose one that have experienced it, it's devastating because, you know, you're looking at it, you don't ever forget them. And so our pets, they need, you know, our protection. And the ones out there that are not, you know, are out there tied to trees and fences and everything and for hours out upon hours, they're the ones that need the attention because they're uncomfortable, they're in distress. So we have to bring it to the spotlight and get it fixed. And this is not just Florida's problem. It's all throughout the United States and the world we have this issue. So I'm glad that all of you are on this and sticking with it because I've noticed the information that I was sent and you can check it out also, Dave. I got a list of all the, and a big shout out to all the Florida reps and senators that supporting Dillon's law, dog chaining law here in Florida. There's two, sponsors and 17 co-sponsors. That is a lot. That is awesome. I mean, look at the support, and it's not even done yet. So it's, I don't even have the draft. Wow.
So there's
17 co-sponsors. That is amazing.
Jennifer can elaborate. There's two intentions of Dillon's law, and one is public safety, and we talked a little bit about that with the children and the people being bit by aggressive dogs that are made aggressive because they're on chains, and then also animal welfare. That's the other intention of this law, to improve animal welfare. So we're hoping it passes. We hope we can get it through.
That will be a victory. I love hearing about victories. You know, we don't stop there. We just keep going because you want to jump to the ceiling because we know we're not spinning our wheels. You know, just like this radio platform, we come together and talk and everything. But if we don't take action, we are only spinning our wheels. So we encourage everyone out there, you know, support these animals and do what you can. Every effort counts. You know, call your state legislators and ask them, hey, can you co-sponsor this bill for Dillon's law in Florida? This thing could really massive grow. And that area code is 202-224-3121. That's a nationwide number, everyone. And ask your zip code. And once they answer, if it's during the week business hours, you ask them to speak to your representative or senator. And if it's after hours and weekends, you can still leave a voice message. So everyone do your part because, hey, our voices do matter. You know, all lives matter, including all the animals. And what we can do better for them, and, hey, it's a big plus for them. But, Dr. Dave, I'm going to bring on Jennifer and get her started in. And then after that, we'll be probably taking some calls. Everyone, so please be patient. We've got a full house this evening. This is great. Thank you all for tuning in. Hey, Animal Warrior Sister.
Debbie. Hi, Dave. Thanks so much for sharing the wonderful background and so many of the – a lot of the details with the Dillon's dog chaining law. Thanks for having us, Debbie, today.
Any time. You know that.
Like I mentioned, hopefully we can end 2020 on a more upbeat, positive note, right?
Right. We need
hopefully.
It. We need it bad. And everyone,
yes.
Jennifer, Canadian from, and like I said, she's a campaign director at Anti-Chain Division, at Anti-Dog Fighting Campaign, K9
yes.
Unchained USA founder, right. And lobbying Dillon's dog chaining law. So
thank you.
Jennifer, thank you. You are relentless. You're everywhere.
Oh, man. Well, like I always say, it's called being obsessed with something. And when someone's obsessed, they just go. It's like an outer body of experience. Oh, there goes my body or whatever. It's run off doing its own thing. So so it's just, well, early on in starting in animal advocacy, my first being catapulted into advocacy was dogs in hot vehicles. It was a viral video that I witnessed, and I went full tilt into that. And once my state got a law to let Good Samaritans retrieve a dog in distress out of a hot car, it was at that time I realized the power that legislation has. Over the dramatic impact, really the core of what can really help so many of our animals that are suffering out there. And so that was, the can of worms was open, and I was just excited. And it didn't take long to where, as I branched out in the media world and connected on Facebook with so many amazing rescue advocates of every spectrum, one of the issues that I just kept seeing over and over were these horrific and heart-wrenching cases of man's best friend suffering unspeakably. And I just, my jaw just began to drop. I could not understand, as a huge dog lover myself, could not understand how this was happening in a free country, in my country, where, you know, so many Americans tend to revere and spend so much on their canines. I just couldn't wrap my brain around it, but I saw that it was definitely an epidemic. And so I started connecting with a lot of these individuals. And so I was so fortunate to be able to, after years of connecting with different individuals, I wanted to make the most impact. And so a couple of years ago, I was able to join the anti-dogfighting campaign. And then the Canine Unchained USA, I just wanted a place where people could unite, and this be either legislatively or, you know, directly hands on the ground, people connecting and helping these dogs in immediate cases when they're out in the freezing cold, et cetera. So it's been very helpful to monitor and connect like-minded individuals. And so with that, like you said, it's a nationwide, even a worldwide problem. And so for 2 years, I was lobbying for here in California, where I'm located, but couldn't seem to get a hold, couldn't seem to get the momentum. But in that process, I was able to see that there was, bit by bit, as I was researching, I saw more and more information about this type of legislation, which was attended tethering, which is that and a chain ban is the most effective type of legislation for this issue. And I just kept finding county after county after county within Florida. And I'm like, whoa, I mean, check this out. And so before long, I was able to connect with advocates in Florida. It took a little while because it's like, you know, it's like a network, it's a root system. So it's like finding who has that passion to be working on this. And so I just thank God that I've been able to connect with Dave. And I want to give a huge shout out to, her name is Renee Rivard. She is the legislative representative for the League of Humane Voters. She would probably be on, but she's a little bit public speaking shy, she told me. So she said, have fun. So, but she is an amazing, her and Dave, and there's another advocate, Betsy Covell. She's a veterinarian in the area, and we have another, an attorney advocate, Isabel Tassi. We have a great team, and Renee is such a powerhouse. She was pivotal in getting around 12 of these counties attended tethering laws passed within the state of Florida.
That is
incredible.
Awesome.
And I just thank God for her and Dave and our team that have that drive to move it forward, because this, as Dylan's Law is unfolding and we're moving along, I'm so elated to the success that we're having. Like you mentioned, co-sponsor in the House and Senate with 17 co-sponsors. We're just so amazed, and just it's one of my dreams coming true, because Florida could be the first state in the nation to have a statewide statute, because we're hoping, Dave mentioned the language, we're hoping to attach it to the state animal cruelty chapter, which is 828.12. And so we are speaking with our sponsor, the legislative aide, and we will probably – they'll be deciding where that would fit in the Florida State Animal Cruelty Code. So that is the vision, to add that there. I don't know if you would mind if I do a shout-out to – individually to the legislators. I know there's a few there, but I don't know if you would mind.
Don't mind at all. They deserve it there, Jennifer. You know,
we couldn't do it without them.
It takes teamwork. And look at this big, great team that's going on. I mean, wow.
Yes, we're so
awesome.
Grateful. We're so grateful. Yes, our House sponsor is Representative Emily Schlossberg. Our sponsor in the House is Senator Annette Tadeo. Then we have Representative Sam Killebrew, Kristen Arrington, Renee Placencia, Joe Casello, Joseph Geller, Tracy Davis, and Representative Tracy Davis, her district is in Duval where Dylan's tragedy occurred. So we were very thrilled to get her on board. Then we have Senator Lauren Book, Senator Daryl Rousson, and then we have Representative Dan Daly, Chevron Jones, Christine Hanshofsky, Christopher Benjamin, Allison Tant, Mike Beltran, Amber Mariano, Robin Bartleman, and Marie Woodson. So if I don't know if any of them are listening, but a major shout-out and much gratitude to them for sponsoring and co-sponsoring this, because 65% of Florida is already covered with 19 counties that already have an attended tethering statute in ordinance in place, even in areas as large as Miami-Dade with almost 3 million residents there, because, you know, we do public safety and protecting our dogs is paramount, is key in what we're trying to achieve. We're very appreciative also to Angie Wyke. She has a rescue called Vocal located in Leon County, and we really appreciate a very detailed document with a lot of critical data that we've been utilizing when we've been lobbying with these legislators that are so compelling. For example, they were monitoring calls, animal cruelty calls in their county of Leon. And in between, they have here that in between January 1st and December 31st, that out of a total of 307 cruelty calls, that 187 of those were all surrounding issues with dogs being on chains. So well beyond half of those cruelty calls were involving dogs that were tethered or chained. And once they got their law passed, they have documentation that year by year, you know, in the first year they would get like 95 calls, and then 32, then 14, 9. And each year that thereafter, these calls dwindled less and less. So we're also, you know, championing to the legislators that it's also a wonderful better stewardship of taxpayer dollars as well. And, of course, they always like to hear that too. So that assists in moving that forward. But we truly want to create a safer environment, safer neighborhoods, because being part of the anti-chain division, I'm always repeating myself, but along with long-term tethering is a very common practice by dog fighters. And so we hope that by helping to eliminate this practice from the general public, that will assist our law enforcement in being able to locate and spot these dog fighters. And along with dog fighting, there's many, many other crimes that are associated with that, along with human trafficking, gambling, illegal weapons, theft, you name it. So it, as a total picture, like Jenga, I like to use that as an analogy, is you remove one part of the equation out of that, the whole, all this can be, well, kind of crumble. So we want the criminal activity to crumble. So we're stoked. We're really stoked on how far along this has gotten. So So a major shout out to the League of Humane Voters and Renee, and thanks so much, Dave, for pushing in Nassau County, and and getting that going there too, because it all is part of the big picture. So I'm hoping, I tried to reach out to a variety of anti-tether individuals and rescues. I don't know if any of them have called in, because I was hoping that maybe some of the rescues in the counties that are not currently covered under, with an attended tethering ordinance. We have gotten some sponsor letters from some of these rescues that are very excited to hear that we are pushing for something statewide, because with no law to cover these dogs in these counties, they see a lot of suffering, So, so I'm not sure if any of them have been able to call in or not.
I can check here. If anybody has any comments or questions for the guest, Jennifer or Dr. Dave, you're more than welcome to call in. We've got the queue packed. It's a full house. Thank you, everybody. Last show of 2020. Let's rock the airways for the animals again.
yes.
Area code 310-982-4270. Press 1. And I will let you in, try to refrain from any noises in the background and, TVs, radios, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. And if you come in late, all these shows are recorded live every Thursday and archived on Blog Talk Radio. Just search Voices Carry for Animals or go to www.blogtalkradio.com/ Voices Carry for Animals. I wanted to, Dr. Dave and Jennifer, I want to give a shout out to my mother who's listening this evening. Thank you, Mom,
Hi, Mom.
Your support, aka Moose.
Hello.
Mommy
she
Moose?
She don't look like a moose, but she,
they're magnificent creatures.
She's awesome. And
nice.
Mom, Ray Bittner, Mama Cat says hi too. And wanted to give a shout out to Mama Cat, Ray Bittner, former guest on here. She's a great support to this show, like my mother, through the whole, almost every show, and I can't thank him enough. And another former guest, which is Skyler. He's a 10-year-old. He might be 11 by now, but he was a former guest on the show. They were standing up for stray cats. Because Mama
awesome.
Cat takes care of 125 stray cats in a colony.
Goodness.
So I hope she calls in. Isn't that awesome? And he's
That's
our
amazing.
Little advocate. So I want to give a shout out to him and say hi and Merry Christmas, Skyler. And I just got a message. He is smiling ear to ear.
That's wonderful.
Keep up the great work, Skyler. You're our future adult advocate, animal warrior. So,
starting young. That's great.
That's it. I mean, he helps his grandmother, him and Allie.
Aww.
So, they're doing great. But anybody wants to call in, you're more than welcome to. Don't be shy. Just act like you're on the phone talking.
Well, and also, too, along the lines of, that we're talking about Dylan's Law, we've been so involved doing the lobbying, sometimes we don't know whether we're coming or going with reaching, hundreds of legislators. But I am also really excited about a congressional bill that I'm not sure how many have heard about it, but I've been wanting to follow it a little more closely, but I do have alerts turned on so that I can get updates. But one of my fellow advocates, you probably remember Ashley Keith with
yes.
Humane Mushing, who she
yes.
champions, and she's a warrior for our huskies and our mushing dogs that often are subjected to the same fate with so many of the commercial mushers, and they're on their chains 24/7 when they're not pulling a sled. And she actually, I believe, alerted me to this congressional bill moving through, and in addition, contacts with the Humane Society let me know that this was moving along and was introduced, I believe, in October. It's called the Puppy Protection Act. Have you heard of that one, Debbie? How about you, Dave?
I haven't heard of that one.
No.
Yes. Well, it's really exciting. It's called the Protection Act. It's the bill number is H.R. 2442 and S4757. It's actually they're striving to elevate the standards of care and living conditions for the Animal Welfare Act, because I mean we know how old the Animal Welfare Act is, what, 1966, so it's an older law, but some of the standards are, I mean, yes, it's better than nothing, but it's way, you know, a lot of the standards are way outdated. And so with the Puppy Protect, I have like a little cheat sheet here in front of me. It's pretty exciting. I can kind of just read off here. It's the Puppy Protection Act will help dogs in commercial breeding facilities by amending the Animal Welfare Act to ban harmful practices such as cage stacking and wire flooring. So that's helpful. Get better standards there. Require larger enclosures, including spacious outdoor exercise runs for all dogs over 12 weeks. It will require that all dogs be fed at least twice a day, because when you're dealing with dogs on chains, I mean, you know, Dave, how often we see, I mean, we've seen dogs like skeletons left on chains, forgotten and left. They've starved to death.
Whoa.
Right. It's just, it's the most, one of the most heartbreaking things you can witness is to think of how this dog just slowly suffered and lonely. Nobody out there, just a slow, lonely death. So this would require that each dog must be fed at least twice a day. So that's really good. It requires dogs to be protected from sweltering or frigid temperatures. It requires that each animal receive prompt treatment of illness or injury. Because, I mean, look, I mean, how often do we see these dogs with sores on their ears? They've got horrific mange. They're like completely naked of fur out there, and in these extreme like cold temperatures, I mean, they have nothing to protect them when they have these extreme mange, and that's awful. It would require that each dog receive daily socialization with humans and compatible dogs, so that's awesome. It will prohibit the overbreeding of dogs or the breeding of dogs that have serious health conditions or inheritable diseases that are likely to significantly affect the mother or offspring. It requires group housing with other dogs unless health or behavioral issues threaten safety. And it requires that breeders make every effort to find humane placement for retired breeding dogs rather than destroying them. Because, I mean, yeah, a lot of times we see, you know, people that have just bred a dog over and over and over again, and then they're just dumped or, you know, sadly destroyed in inhumane ways. So we're really hoping that by this Puppy Protection Act being attached to the Animal Welfare Act, that, you know, commercial dogs will be included. And so, you know, talking to Ashley Keith about it, you know, hopefully this will help extend out into the mushing kennel realm and get some kind of protection for them, because most of these mushing dogs are considered basically like livestock. They're commercial dogs, and they're basically part of a kennel breeding setup, and so they really have little to no protection to cover them. So if anyone is passionate about, you know, dogs, tether dogs, and improved condition, you know, for dogs and their living condition, this would be a really good bill to follow. Again, it's the Puppy Protection Act, H.R. 2442. S4757. And so this would be, yes, some federal standards that are being elevated. So by federally elevating the standards, I'm hoping that with time that it will basically open the doors for more states to be able to go, well, hey, the federal standard's higher, you know, why not push it for state as well? So that is the hope. So I'm pretty excited about that too, to bring up and talk to legislators. So I don't know if anyone from that is residing in Florida would love to shout out to them if they could possibly please locate their representatives and talk to them about Dylan's dog chaining law. It's definitely been buzzing around because when I've been talking to Renee, she's like, oh yes, when I talk to this legislator, they've said, oh hey, yeah, we've heard about Dylan's dog chaining law, and so the word is getting out, but it does take a lot of persistence. And Dave and I have been dueling up on a lot of the meetings when we've been making the phone calls, and then Renee makes phone calls, lots of emails. So it's persistence. The squeaky wheel gets oiled, hopefully, but we're again very excited on the progress that we've made so far for a statewide attended tethering statute. And so, yes, hopefully for Floridians, the Florida residents, especially, like I mentioned, especially rescues that see the suffering, that sees what's going on so much, and they've had to rescue so many dogs in these predicaments. We'd love it, and urging them to reach out to their district representative, state representatives, and talk to them about Dylan's law and, you know, how it would benefit and how it would help their neighborhoods and, everywhere. But so the more people,
Jennifer,
like you said, raising their voices, the better. Oh, go ahead.
They can reach us through our Facebook page, which is Dylan's Dog Chaining Law. So if
yes.
They just search that on Facebook, they can message us. And we also have an online
petition
through change.org.
Right.
And that is change.org/UnchainedFlorida. So if somebody wants to sign our online petition, we'll be getting that over to the lawmakers in Florida too. So
yes.
Hopefully we can get names on there to show them that there is a real interest in this.
And I think that one's moving along rather well. Isn't it, Dave? What are we sitting at as far as signatures so far? I think we're starting to get up there because it's a newer petition, right? Yeah.
It is new. I haven't checked it in a while. I know we were up over 1,200, and that was a while ago. But it's it tends to grow exponentially. It starts off rather slow, and then it's like
mm-hmm.
that proverbial snowball rolling down the hill. It gets bigger and bigger and faster and faster. So,
yes.
You know, the more people that find that and share that link, change.org/UnchainedFlorida, the better.
Yes, that would be great. And we're trying to stay on top of too. Every time we add a new co-sponsor or some news, you know, we're posting it on Dylan's Facebook page and even current cases. Just today, somebody tagged me of a really sad chain dog scenario in Sumter County. Sumter is not a county that has a strong anti-tether law. And over the past few months, there's been multiple occasions, it seems like, for some reason, coming out of Sumter County of these situations. And I posted that on Dylan's wall. And, so you can see the need is most definitely there. And, because not everybody, depending on, where they're located, they may not always see these dogs and how they often are just merely trying to survive. in these scenarios, because this law, with like pretty much any anti-tethering legislation, it's complaint driven, and so you know, it's you have to keep an eye out. You know, it's the saying that we always say: when you see something, say something. And so, you know, we're really hoping that this will really improve this scenario on, you know, so when people know that that there is something that can be enforced anywhere in Florida when they see these type of situations. And it's very enforceable because it's a visual. We have multiple surveys by animal control directors that that really explain all the benefits of having an attended tethering in their districts and their counties. So we've been sharing those a lot, and you know, I always reach out to anybody else anywhere, country. Florida is really being a beacon of light for chain dogs everywhere, in my opinion. And with all the data that we've collected as we're pushing this forward, like I said, it's so compelling. I always invite anyone anywhere reaching out that we are happy to share a lot of the material that we've been collecting to share as an example that, you know, if it can work in all these counties in Florida, there's no reason that it can't work basically anywhere. So I'm always encouraging and inviting, you know, advocates that are very very passionate about this issue to reach out. And quite often I'll post links in the Canine Unchained USA group to, you know, help people along or help them get started. A lot of times different advocates have said, well, you know, I want to change things, but I don't know where to get started. And so, you know, I encourage people to jump into Canine Unchained USA. A wonderful advocate in LaGrange, Georgia, Evie Kettler, she does amazing work there. She pretty much almost single-handedly has updated her town and then her county laws. And she has a rescue called Pause for Change there. And she and I, a while back, kind of put together kind of like a Pass Local Laws 101 document. And so I have that shared in the in Canine Unchained USA. It's pinned there. And so, yeah, just invite anyone that would like to make a change in their area to jump in there and, you know, peruse through the material. And I always try my best to talk to anyone that has any questions on that. So we're here.
A couple of questions that come up is how widespread of problem is this?
Right.
You know, how many dogs are chained in Florida? And, of course, no one has any way of counting them all. But I can tell you that in Nassau County, we have a population of about 85,000 people. And we get about 100 calls a year come in for dogs that are chained. And that in itself only tells part of the story, because we get a lot of cruelty calls that come in. When the officer gets there, they find out that the dog is chained. So, you know, let's just say we're getting 400 calls a year,
yeah.
Or let's say we get 200 calls a year of dogs that are chained, which would be a very conservative estimate. Nassau County doesn't even make up 1% of Florida's population. So you'd have to take that 200 calls and multiply it by 100, and you literally have thousands of dogs that are chained all over the state of Florida. So it's
yes.
It's a very widespread problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one that we get asked about is, you know, what are the proposed penalties or the fines associated with this law? And the first offense is simply a warning with education. You know, you can't do that anymore, and here's why. the second offense, and they have 30 days in which to correct the problem, get the dog off the chain. The second offense is a $250 fine. And then if there's a third offense, then it is a $500 fine, and we're proposing a mandatory court appearance. And I can tell you that in Nassau County, in the some 2.5 years we've had the law, we've never got to the third offense. No one's ever had to go to court and paid the fine. But it really, the fines are not necessarily punitive in nature. They are more educational. The law, the purpose of the law is to educate and not punish people. I think that's different than some other laws where they're simply punitive. You get fined. If you break the law, sorry, you're getting a fine. This one is not like that. This is we don't want to take anybody's dog away. We just want them to take them off their chain.
Yes, well, and like you said, Dave, I mean, unfortunately, there's still so many areas that the perception of what you do with your dog, like you mentioned your father, is they're a little bit antiquated in what is done and how, you know, they don't think about the humane part of it. It's just, that's just what's done. And so, you know, a lot of it is rewiring, getting people to rethink care, you know, what is involved with canine care, and that a lot of learning how sociable, you know, canines are. And to me, and seeing so many of the cases out there and knowing how sociable dogs are, to me, I think if you could ask a dog, you know, what is the worst thing about being subjected to a life on a chain, I would almost bet you, if I was a betting person, that forget the cold, forget the heat, forget even the lack of food and pests, the fact that nobody comes out to spend any time loving on them and showing them affection and that somebody cares, to me, I think is probably the most detrimental thing that happens to a long-term tethered dog is the loneliness.
Yeah, the analogy is a dog on a chain is like putting a human in solitary confinement.
Right.
You know, the complete isolation. You don't talk to anybody. You don't socialize at all. And that's the true punishment is you can't socialize. And that's what's like putting a dog on a chain. They can't socialize, which is what they love to do.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's more, I think that's the harshest type of cruelty, I think, that can be administered on our very sociable canines. And I mean, 'cause like our dogs, they have a very secure 6-foot large yard, and we have 2 doggy doors. They are free to come and go as they please. They will go out and spend some time, you know, running around a little bit, but the majority of their time is inside right next to us. And that's the choice they make. And when you take that away from a dog, you know, and isolate them, I can't, you know, imagine doing that, you know, to my dog. So it's really hard to think that so many dogs are subjected to that. Oh, I think we hear a ring ring, so maybe somebody
yes,
wants
we
to call
do. Erica,
yay!
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 We got area code 719, and you are live and on the air. You have any questions or comments for the guests, please, Mama Cat. I always remember.
Hello,
your mama.
Everybody.
Hey, how's it going, your Mama Cat?
Hi.
Hi, how's everybody doing tonight?
We're good. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I'm doing well. Hey, I just wanted to say on what you were just talking about, I have 4 rescued Catahoula dogs.
Oh.
And they have pre-run of everything. And I couldn't imagine putting them on a chain.
I know.
Well,
I know.
They'd hang high energy. But when we rescued these dogs, they were the guy was breeding them,
mm-hmm.
and he had several litters of them. And, I mean, he probably had 15 dogs out there, adults, and he would go out with a bag of food, a 10-pound bag of food, dump the food on the sidewalk, and walk away. So whoever got there first got there,
aww.
And whoever didn't. And aww. These animals were so skinny. I mean,
aww, no.
So I took three of them. And he, you know,
thank
he was like,
you.
What are you doing?
Bless
and
you.
I told him, look, we've got a couple choices here. I either call the sheriff and the Humane Society, or you let me take these dogs and find them homes. Of course, the home I found was mine, but I found homes for all of those dogs out there. And then I told them, you know, we got to get these dogs fixed. Well,
yeah.
In the end, he up and moved, and I don't know what happened to the other dogs, but, you know, it's...
Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
I love them.
Oh, they're marvelous. I call them Earth Angels because they have this unending loyalty and love, and they deserve the very best that we can give them. So, yeah, thank you for rescuing those babies.
I have a similar story in rescued dogs from a chain and two small dogs. They're dachshund mixes, and they were chained 24/7, and now they're sleeping next to me in my bed. So,
Dave's another awesome rescuer. Thank you, Dave.
I was just going to find them homes, and you know, once I got them home, I
foster failed. Foster fails.
Foster failure.
That's it.
Well, that's a good failure. That's when failure is generally a good thing.
Hey, Mama Cat, will you please tell Allie? Because I got a message from you that she was smiling when I gave her a shout out a while ago. And Skyler and Allie, have
that.
A very Merry Christmas, my fellow animal advocates.
Yes.
And your grandchildren, you know, you only have once, or one age one time, so enjoy them, you know, your children.
Listen,
your
pet. Allie has turned into the cat whisperer. I've got the three cats that I got from that hoarding situation down in Pueblo, and they had never been touched. They were locked in a garage. It was like 120 that garage. No windows, no fans. It was the smell of death.
Ew.
I don't know how many cats in that garage had died. Anyway, I took these animals again. I just took them. No choice. I'm taking them. And we built a 24-foot-long patio that's attached to my house.
Nice.
And they have, they've got electric blankets out there. They got it made.
Spoiled, yay.
But they're very feral. And Allie goes in there every day. She spends 2 hours or more every day in there with those cats. And now the two of them are rubbing up against her legs, and I can pick them up. But
you're close with them. How old is Allie now?
She's 8. She'll be 9 2 days before Christmas is her birthday. So.
Oh, check that out. I have to send a message before, a couple on her birthday. Because she's also
been, she'll love
you
that.
Know what? This show is going so fast. We're down to a minute and a half, everyone.
Yeah.
And so, Jennifer, looking
forward. Well, thanks
forward.
For coming on,
thank
Mama Cat.
You. And you know what? I will be getting hold of you in 2021, you and Dr. Dave, and do an update and wishing you the best of the best on Dylan's Law
to honor
Dylan Andrews, okay?
Yeah.
Rest in peace. And we hope this passes all the way. Thank you,
absolutely.
Everyone, for tuning in.
Thank you.
Ray Bittner, a former guest on my show. Thank you, Mama Cat, for all your support you give all year long and all the sharing. And I wanted to give a message out to everyone.
It's
so heartfelt, meaningful, everyone, because together we can all make a difference. We got to at least try.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Strict in numbers, right. There we go. Thank you to all the former guest callers, listeners, the PPJ Gazette, Marty Oakley, family, friends, Facebook followers, animal friends, cross posters, animal advocates, Twitter followers, LinkedIn followers, Pinterest followers, networkers, animal advocates, Facebook page, and groups that help and promote Voices Care for Animals and ongoing help for our animal friends in need. It takes teamwork to see any victors, everyone. Let's strive for a better year 2021. Hope everyone has a very Merry Christmas and a better, safer, and healthier New Year 2021. We'll
Thanks
be
for
back
having
on
us.
Air Thursday, January the 7th. So please join us, everyone, with Marty Irby, Executive Director from Animal Wellness Action. Help protect our animals in need. Thank you, everyone. And
thank you.
For
Merry
tuning
Christmas.
In.
Thank
Happy
you.
New Year.
Hey, back to
That's
you.
Good. Hi, everybody.
Thank you.
I'm going to have a baby strong.
Ball in hand. United we stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Let's rock it. Ha,